I enjoyed that so much I almost forgot what I was doing. And I know we've said it before and others have said it, John, you do just a great job of the song service. All right. If I can find it, it's here somewhere. There we go. You know, last week, Alan's lesson was, who's in control here? Becky and I came in this morning and found the thing and it said, who's in control here? And the bottom of it said, Ralph. Anybody thinks I'm in control here, forget it, folks, you're in big trouble. But that sort of led me, I had already, in a way, figured out my theme, but that gave me the way to go about it. You know, God is in control, right? Amen. None of us would argue with that, right? Okay, so if God's in control, if he's omnipotent, if he's omnipresent, if he's omniscient, then what am I supposed to do? Stand around and twiddle my thumbs? You know, people who are atheists or who believe in God but really don't want to have God in control of their lives, they can just about do whatever they want to do and get away with it. But what about us, we who have given our lives to Christ? What are we supposed to do? Well, I want to do a little time travel this morning. I want you to get on your imagination hats. And for some of you, it's going to be a real test. I want you to think about the time when you were first a Christian. Now, for those who were not born inside the church, that's going to be an easy thing to do. For you who were born in the church, it might be a little tougher. But you're a new Christian, you're a brand new Christian, you don't know anything. And by the way, thank you, Charles, I wish I'd have thought of that. That's the answer right there to what you do. You do God's will. And I want you to look at some of the things that are involved this morning in doing God's will. If you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians. We'll be there probably most of the morning. So I want us to think, you're a new Christian, you don't know what to do, right? Well, I want us to look at what Paul says to do. And if you have an NIV, at the top of the thing it says, top of chapter 3, it says, rules for holy living. Now, how many of you really like rules? That's what I thought. None of us really like rules, do we? But these are rules to live by. First of all, and that's the reason I'm not reading the scripture, because we're going to go through the whole part of the chapter. Okay, verses 1 through 4 says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will appear with him in glory. Okay, first thing you do, is you have to... Now, of course, I am assuming that you're all Christians, right? You will have had to have died to yourself. You've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. You've been baptized. And now you want to know what to do. Well, one of the first things you do is you don't worry about what happens here on earth. You set your minds, remember, your minds on things above. Why? Because where's Jesus? He's above. He's not down here. You set your mind on Christ. You think about heavenly things. basically do this before you do anything else. Think about that. You do this before you think about anything. Now, that does not mean you're not going to think about things on the earth. But your main focus is going to be heavenward. Romans 12:2. Be transformed how? By the renewing of your mind. Number one. Okay. Number two. Second thing you do. Verse 5. If you have an NIV, it says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature. If you by chance have a King James, it uses the word mortify. And I had to look that baby up to find out what mortify meant. Mortify. To bring in subjection by self-denial, abstinence, or discipline. Or to render dead to the world and flesh. Put to death, mortify those things that belong to your earth, your earthly nature. And it lists some of them. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. There are others that you could do, you could add to that list. Why do we have to put these things to death? Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. The reason you have to put these to death is because those who live by these will have the wrath of God come upon them. That's a simple. That's why. That's why you have to put these to death. Now, I'm not sitting here saying it's easy to do. None of us who have lived long enough as a Christian know it's an easy thing to do. But there is two ways that God has given us to help us. One is this. And number two is the Holy Spirit. He doesn't say, okay, you put him to death, now you go out and figure out how to put him to death. He gives us all the help we need. He gives us the help. Okay, now, you put those to death, what do you do next? Okay. Turn to verse 8. And I said, you used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now, he says, first of all, you put the other things to death. Wait a minute, that you're not done yet. But now you must rid yourself. When you rid yourself, you rid something of it, you get rid of it. If you've got junk, you get rid of it. If you've got old clothes, you get rid of it. And that's what Paul's saying here. You get rid of it. You get rid of such things as anger. Rage. Malice, the desire to harm someone. Now, I don't know about most of you, but I know at least one person in this auditorium that when he hears the word malice, thinks of one thing. Right, Charles? Lincoln's second inaugural address with what? Malice toward none. You get rid of malice. You get rid of the desire to harm someone. Slander. Speaking against someone as to damage their character. Slander. You don't slander anyone. If you used to slander someone, you don't slander anybody anymore. Filthy language from your lips. Number 9, verse 9. You do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. You don't lie to one another. You don't even tell a little white lies or a fib. I don't care what you call it. You don't do it. Folks, if you think I'm just talking to you guys, I'm not. I'm pointing three fingers back at myself. It says, do not lie to each other, since you have what? Taken off the old self and put on the new self. You don't get up on Sunday morning and put on the clothes you had on yesterday afternoon and that you may have been doing yard work or and come to church, do you? Well, maybe some of you do. I don't know. No, you don't. So if you want to live a holy life in front of God, you take off the old stuff and you put on the new stuff. Which is he, what he says? Which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Romans 12:2. What does Romans 12:2 say? Being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You think, you don't think like you used to. You think like God thinks. All right, now, so much for the negative. Y'all, the negative's out the door. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved. You know, a person could preach a sermon on those few words. That, folks, is how God looks at us. Therefore, as God's chosen people, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and as many times as I use this, I ought to remember it. Oh, wait a minute. 1 Peter 2, 9, Ralph, not 1, 9. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. And Paul says, therefore, as God's chosen people, Peter, holy and dearly loved. He and Peter must have been thinking on the same wavelength. Now, remember we talked about taking off the old, putting on the new? Now, here's the new that you put on. Compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and, sorry Tim, patience. Every time I read the word patience, I think of something Tim told me once. And I think of it too sometimes. I want patience, and I want it right now. That's not patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Why? What's the next words on the in the verse? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. You got something against a person, you forgive them. Now I know it's not always easy. But as I've said many times, if it were easy, everybody'd do it. And verse 14, after you've done all the rest of this, here's what you put on top of it. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Paul also said in 1 Corinthians 13, 13th verse, and these three remain, hope, love, what's the third one? Isn't that funny? I can't. I had it memorized. Okay, thank you. Thank you. But the greatest of these is what? Love. Think of that. The greatest virtue you can have is to love one another. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace. John 14:27, Jesus appears to the disciples, and what's the first thing he says to them? Peace be with you. Peace. Now that is not the absence of, it is the absence of conflict, but the peace he's talking about is a peace that will allow you to sleep at night when the whole world is crashing down around you. John 20 verses 19 and 21, he talks again about peace. Peace. Isn't that something we all crave, is peace? That will allow us to sleep at night. And be thankful. You know, it's about a month. In fact, I think a month from tomorrow is Thanksgiving Day. And that's a day that a lot of people take time to thank God and spend the next 364 days just living their lives as they want to. But we as Christians, should be thankful every morning we get up, that we can get up. That God is on the throne. There are so many things. I spent the other day listing five things, and started to list five things, and I ended up with eight or nine. And I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about little things that you can be thankful for. Be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. There's that idea of not only being thankful, but being grateful. Grateful. And again, I'll say this, folks, it isn't easy. It isn't easy when you meet a half a dozen other people who are complaining about this and that, and well, you know, it's not easy. But again, let's remember, this is what you do if you are want to live a holy life before God. Dwell. If you dwell, if something dwells, it makes its home. It makes its residence in you. And there's only one way. It says, okay, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. There's only one way to do that. And that's to spend time in the Word. It's not going to happen by osmosis. Now, if you can do it by osmosis, would you please let the rest of us know how you do it? Because you can't do it that way. It requires time in the Word. It requires setting aside time to spend with God in His Word. And Paul closes this section of Colossians 3 with this verse. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, Paul is not saying, okay, whatever you do indeed, do this, but don't, you just, it doesn't matter what you do with your word. No, he says, whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. You know, Paul, and I cannot scripturally back this up, must have been one of the most thankful persons who ever lived on this earth. Because he was always telling people, be thankful, be thankful. Okay, now I asked you earlier to time travel a little and go back. But you know what? You really don't have to do that. Because this is as applicable today as it was then. We need to be reminded sometimes of how we should live. Because sometimes we get caught up in our own little humdrum life that we forget. 1 John chapter 2. This is verse 5 and 6. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. That's all I told you this morning. I just told you this morning how Jesus lived, how he walked. Now he's telling us, this is the way we have to walk. If there's anything we can do for anyone, please come forward as we listen to this song. Thank you.